Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, have you ever met someone that you wish you had never met? Has someone in your family ever met someone that you wish they had never met? Because sometimes it's the people that we have met who are part of our greatest regret. In fact, often it is the people that we have met who are part of our greatest regret. Because they influence us to ignore guardrails. And they're a part of us and our swerve. We're in a series that I'm calling Swerve. And swerves happen when you least expect them. You're driving down the road and the phone rings or the radio station gets a song you don't like or whatever it might be, somebody else does something on the road, and before you know it, you have swerved and you have lost control. And when that happens, you hope that there are guardrails in place on the highway. As we came into church this morning on the Wilson overpass, right as you hit the overpass, someone had hit the guardrail and it was all crumpled in, but obviously it had kept them from going over and off. It had done its job, because when you hit the guardrail, it protects you and it keeps you from going into further danger, and it doesn't cost you as much. It may have cost them a trip to the body shop, but it probably saved them a trip to the hospital. And just like you need and we need guardrails on the highway, you need guardrails on the highway of life. You need some guardrails that you have put in place, and you put them up when you don't need them so that they will be there when you do need them. And they're there in the safety zone to keep you from going into the danger zone. And so today we're going to talk about building guardrails in our lives when it comes to our friends, when it comes to our associates, when it comes to the people that we work with or play with or do life with. Because, and if you want to follow along in the outline, friends we've met are often part of our greatest regret. Our greatest regret usually involves people. People in our lives, and very often those people are our friends. Now, culture really doesn't promote guardrails. Culture promotes more painted lines. And in fact, culture may be critical of us when we build guardrails into our life. And one thing they may say is, well, you are being judgmental. You're being judgmental. And what I want to say this morning is that when we build guardrails into our life, when we build guardrails when it comes to any part of our life, but today we're talking about friends and associates, we are not being judgmental toward those people. What we are doing is showing good judgment. And there is a difference between being judgmental and showing good judgment. Being judgmental is when I form what is too often just a half opinion. It's not a very informed opinion. But being judgmental is when I form a half opinion about you and what you are doing. That could be judgmental. But showing good judgment is when I form an opinion about me and what I am doing. And so judgmentalism can be about other people, but good judgment is about me. And it's good to show good judgment when it comes to your relationships. And so when you build a guardrail in relationships, you are not building a guardrail for anyone else. You're not building a guardrail for your friends. You're not building a guardrail for the people that you work with or interact with. You are building a guardrail for yourself. You're deciding beforehand what you're going to do when the situation arises. When the opportunity comes, you're deciding beforehand so that that guardrail will keep you out of serious harm. And again, we have people in our life that we wish we had not met because they are part of our biggest regret. And if you had good parents or grandparents, or if you currently now have good parents or grandparents, then you know from experience that they are very often paranoid about your friends. None of our teenagers said amen. I'm glad to know that. Sometimes parents and grandparents are paranoid about their friends and they pay really, really close attention to who their kids are hanging around, who their kids are interacting with, what friend group their kids have, where they're going, and what they are doing. And if you had good parents and you had good grandparents, they were like that. And very often you just stomped your feet and you rolled your eyes and you said, "Oh, Mom," or "Oh, Dad, you're just being so judgmental." But then you grow up and you become a parent. And you thought your parents were paranoid. Well, you're paranoider. But you've got a leg up on what your parents had because you now can actually stalk your children's friends. And you can look them up on social media. And you can read text. And you can have this app on their phone that lets you know at every moment where your child or grandchild is. You're paranoider. And the reason is because we know without a doubt that friends and associates are a huge deal when it comes to our lives. And we must show good judgment because our friends determine the direction and the quality of our life. I don't think that I am overstating that. Our friends determine the direction and the quality of our life. And the very thing that makes friendships so good is also the very reason that you need guardrails in your life when it comes to your friends. Because when we are with our friends, we immediately and automatically let down our guard. That's why they're our friends. Because we're that comfortable with them. We're able to relax with them. We're able just to be ourselves. We're able to have a good time. We're at ease. And when we do that, we drop our guard. And that's why we need guardrails. Because here's what happens when you hang around a group of people. When you hang around a group of people for any length of time, you begin to think like those people. Now, your parents and your grandparents and my parents and my grandparents have said that, but there is actually neurological science that confirms that we begin to think and act like the people that we hang around. There's a neurologist, his name is Morin Cerf, and he studied this and he discovered that when we spend any given length of time with people, that literally our brain waves begin to mirror and match the group's brain waves. Now, I don't know how that happens, but neurologically, scientifically, it's proven that it does. When you are around people, your brain waves literally get into the same pattern that their brain waves get into. And I think that is one reason that when we say, you know, we just really like being with someone because we just feel like we're on the same wavelength with them, well, it turns out that it's actually scientifically true. Just to step aside for a minute, this is why it is so critically important that we actually disciple the people that God puts in our lives and that God brings to His Son. We got to spend time with them. We got to spend a lot of time with them. Because even if you become a Christian, if you just go back to the same people and the same habits, you're just going to stay on that same wavelength. Here's what Dr. Cerf wrote. If people want to maximize happiness and minimize stress, okay, is there anyone in this room who would like to maximize your happiness? Is there anyone in this room who would like to minimize your stress? Okay, if people want to maximize happiness and minimize stress, they should build a life that requires few decisions. By surrounding themselves with people who embody the traits that they already prefer. So if you want to have a happier life, if you want to have a less stressful life, one of the ways to do that is to build a life for yourself where you're having to make less decisions about these people and events and things that you're doing and participating in, and hang around people who are already thinking and doing and acting the way that you want to act and think and do. So being in proximity with people affects you on a neurological level, as well as a behavioral level, as well as a spiritual level, because your future will be influenced by the people that you interact with, and your future will be impacted by the people that you are in community with. Now, Dr. Scherf discovered that scientifically and neurologically, but 3,000 years ago, the wisest man who ever lived also knew that truth without the benefit of science. And he wrote in Proverbs 13 and 20, "Walk with the wise and become wise." Would you say that with me? Walk with the wise and become wise. There's just truth there, right? Walk with the wise and become wise. There is something contagious about being around people. And if you're around wise people, people who are acting with wisdom, people who are showing good judgment, that's contagious. If you hang out with people like that, you're going to become a person like that. There's just something about it that rubs off on you. And that's really good to know. But Solomon continues and he says, "But a companion of fools suffers harm." Say that one with me. A companion of fools suffers harm. Now, I don't know about you, but I kind of expected Solomon to say something different. I thought what he would say is, walk with the wise and become wise, walk with a fool and become a fool. That's what I thought he said, but what he actually says is even worse than that. Because you walk with a fool, not only are you going to become a fool, but you're going to get hurt in the process. It's not going to turn out well. You're going to suffer some damage and some hurt and some pain. You're going to come to harm. And you say, "Well, but I'm not doing what they're doing. They're just my friends. They're just fun to be around." But medical science and the wisdom of God would say, but you hang around them enough and you're going to become like them. And common sense would say that as well. But even if you're not doing what they're doing, here's the problem with hanging around fools. When they go down, they're going to want to bring you down with them. When they get hurt, they're going to want you to get hurt with them. Because, and now I'm not just talking to kids here, I'm talking to adults. Friends who aren't careful with their marriages are not going to be careful with your marriage. Friends who aren't careful with their morals are not going to be careful with your morals. Friends who aren't careful with their finances are not going to be careful with your finances. Friends who are not careful with their reputations, they're not going to be careful with your reputations. And so it's not being judgmental, it's showing good judgment. It's not you making decisions about them, it's you making decisions about you. Because friendships can be awesome, but you probably got in trouble more with your friends than with anybody else. And so friendships require guardrails, safety measures that you put in place before you need them so that they will be there when you need them. And I just want to give you, as we finish today, five things to think about. And it's, if you're a teenager, if you're a college student, if you're an adult, this is for all of us, because all of us have friends and we have associates, and they determine the direction and the quality of our life. And so I just want to talk about some relational guardrails, just things for you to think about that you, that might spur something on for you in terms of, okay, here's something I need to put in place now so that when I bump up against it, it's a warning and I get out of trouble. And here's one. When it dawns on you that your friend group is not moving in the direction that you want your life to move, and you're having a good time with these folks and you go and do things and y'all like the same kind of music and you like the same kind of food, but then there just becomes a moment when you realize, you know what, these folks are just not going in the same direction that I want my life to go. This is fun, but I've also got a life. When that occurs to you, if that ever dawns on you, let that be a guardrail to say, wait a minute, I need to take stock here about my friends and my associates. Here's a second one. When you catch yourself pretending to be someone other than who you are. When you catch yourself agreeing with the group to things that inside you don't really agree with. Or when you catch yourself saying no to something that really inside you think you should say yes to. When you are pretending to be someone you're not because these people like you or they pay attention to you or whatever it is. Let that be a guardrail to say, hey, wait a minute, I may need to pay attention here. Here's a third one. When you feel pressure to compromise when you're with your friends, when you're with your associates, when you feel pressure to compromise, see, let the guardrail get your attention when you feel the pressure, not after you compromise. Build that guardrail now so it's there, not after you cross the line, but before you cross the line. Here's a fourth one. When you catch yourself thinking, well, I'll go, but I won't participate. Just because you want to be with them, but you know where they're going or what they're doing is not good. It's not good for you. You're not judging them. You're just making good judgment about yourself. When you start thinking, you know, I'll go, but I won't participate. Because if you would not believe that from someone else, then it's not true about you either. Here's the last one. When you hope that people you care about don't know where you are, let that be a guardrail. When that happens, let that be a warning. Let that keep you from getting into further trouble. Now, Solomon said, walk with the wise and become wise. Jesus said some things about wisdom as well. And really in one of his least known sayings, and maybe a saying that's kind of hard to understand. In Luke chapter 7, verse 35, Jesus said, wisdom is proved right by all her children. Wisdom is proved right by all her children. Here's a little bit of the context for that. Jesus, almost everywhere Jesus went, there were people who surrounded him. And every time there were people surrounded him, there were people who wanted to argue with him. People who wanted to push back against what he was saying. Because when Jesus talks, it usually causes us to take a look inside ourselves. And we want to push back. And Jesus really rarely took the bait. Jesus wasn't one who argued with people because he knew what he was saying was true. He didn't have to prove it to them. But here is what he said one time when that happened. He did respond and he said, wisdom is proved right by all her children. Here's what I think Jesus was saying. Wisdom is just true. And as time goes on and as circumstances play themselves out, wisdom is going to be proved right. What's true and right is true and right, and it will always be true and right. And wisdom is always going to have the last word. We can argue about it. We can push against it. We can decide, you know, that's not true for me. We can do all kinds of things. But in the end, wisdom is going to be proved right. That's what Jesus is saying. So I just want to encourage you today that when it comes to your friends and your associates, don't push back against this teaching from Jesus. Don't say, well, that's not true for my friends. Well, that's not true for me and the people I work with. Listen to the wisdom of the ages, the wisdom of Solomon, the wisdom of Jesus, the wisdom of God's Word. And know that friends are going to determine the direction and the quality of your life. And so build some guardrails now so that later you won't regret that person that you met.